Well, good morning to everybody. Good to see you here. And if you're visiting with us, of course, we're especially glad that you're here. And hope you give us an opportunity to get acquainted after the service this morning. When I was a young man, I had a broken filling. Y'all ever had a broken filling? Yeah, I didn't do anything about it. If you're wondering, that's not the smart play. And after a while, it really started to bother me, and it started to hurt, and then it started to hurt more. And I had to be really careful about getting something hot on it or getting something cold on it because it was really sensitive, and the misery just increased. And after the misery got to a certain level, I thought, okay, I need to go see the dentist, finally. So I went to the dentist, and I said, "Doc, I need this tooth filled." And he said, "Buddy, it is way too late for that. What you need is a root canal and a crown on that because that tooth is dead." And so I wound up with a root canal and a crown because that tooth was dead. The time had passed. Early in life, we become aware of the passage of time, and we recognize that Ecclesiastes is exactly right. There's a time for everything, but the time passes from us, and it just can't be recaptured from us. Now, when we're young, our life stretches out in front of us like a long hallway with doors open on every side, and the possibilities are endless. And as we walk along that hallway, as life goes on and we push our way down that hallway, we hear those doors quietly click closed behind us. Time has passed, and we get too old. You get too old for military service, they won't take you after a certain age. We get too old to be a firefighter. I want to be the big hero. That's past. We get too old to have children. And nothing can change that. Another door has clicked quietly shut. In the Bible, there was a man who heard a lot of doors click closed. His name was Abram. If you want to get a head start, you can go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 17, the very first book of the Bible, chapter 17. And we're going to look at verses 1 to 22 to talk about Abram. At 75 years old, God said to him, "You are going to have descendants. You're going to have children. I'm going to make of you a great nation." But it didn't happen. At the age of 85, God spoke to him again. And he said, "We're going to make a covenant. I will make a covenant with you, and I'm going to make your descendants as countless as the stars in the sky." But it didn't happen. And so his wife Sarai said, "All right, have your child. Have your child with Hagar, my servant. My servant, my child." And at the age of 86... Abram became a father. But Sarai didn't become a mother. It's too late for that. That time had passed. And then, when he was 99 years old, God spoke to him again in Genesis chapter 17. And God began to change things. If you would, read with me through Genesis 17, verses 1 to 22. I'm going to make just a couple of comments on the way by, and then we're going to come back and talk about what happens in this. This is just a very powerful story here. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai." This is really interesting because this is the God who spoke and the universe came into being, but he didn't call himself El Shaddai then. This is the God who saved Noah through the flood, but he didn't call himself El Shaddai then. This is the same God who confused the people's speech at the Tower of Babel and scattered them throughout the world, but he didn't call himself El Shaddai then. And when he first spoke to Abram back in chapter 12, and then again in chapter 15, he didn't call himself El Shaddai. This is the first time in Scripture that God calls himself God Almighty. "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty." Then he goes on to say, "Walk before me and be blameless." I will confirm my covenant with you, or between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. Oh boy, I heard that story before. Yeah, I've heard that one. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, I like that when God spells things out really carefully. As for me, this is what I'm going to do. As for you, this is what you need to do. Okay, so as for me, this is my part of the covenant. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, which means high or exalted father. Abram, exalted father. There's a kind of a bad joke, right? Father, he's 99 years old. No longer will you be called Abram. Nope. Your name will be Abraham, father of a multitude. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant. As for me, I'm going to give you descendants, I'm going to give you all this land. As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He's broken my covenant. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed. You know, if you've read this and you kind of know the story, you know in the next chapter, in chapter 18, Sarah laughs when she's told this. She laughs. We forget that Abraham laughed too. And by the way, the Hebrew word for laughed is Isaac. Literally, that's Isaac. Laughed. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife, Sarah, will bear you a son, and you will call him, he laughed, you'll call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you, I will surely bless him, and I will make him fruitful, and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he'd finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. What captures our attention immediately about this story really isn't about Abraham. This story is about God. Abraham has nothing to say. God does all the talking here. Abraham has very little to say, and the only thing that he does say is he laughs and he begs God to change his mind and do things differently. God's not going to do that. The first thing God said was, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. I don't want to dwell too much on this covenant sign of circumcision this morning. That became very, very important to the Jews later on. what I really want to dwell on this morning is this talk about El Shaddai, this God Almighty. When he says, I am El Shaddai, he means I can change things. When God says, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty, he's saying, I can fulfill impossible promises. You can fulfill impossible promises? Sure can. Yeah. For example, with Abraham. Abraham, you, Sarah, a son, here, this time next year. It's too late. God, that ship has sailed. You know, I mean, it's just too late. That door closed. No, I'm El Shaddai. I'm El Shaddai. Oh, by the way, Abraham, the land, the whole land, it's your land. Well, God, there are people living there right now, and they seem to think it's their land. Well, don't worry about that. I'm El Shaddai. And he really is God Almighty. And he keeps that same thought going through the Bible. I mean, you see this same theme just spread throughout the Scriptures. Israel, in the history of Israel. Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt and free my people. You're going to plunder the nation of Egypt, and you're going to bring them back here, and you're going to worship me right here in this mountain. Egypt? That's the superpower of the world. Don't worry about it. I'm El Shaddai. David, your kingdom, I'm going to give you this kingdom. You're going to have it forever. Jeremiah, you're going into exile 70 years and you're going to come back here. When the 70 years are over, the exile's over, you're going to come back here. Trust me on this. I'm El Shaddai. And it just goes on into the New Testament. Jesus says to the blind man, he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, what good is that going to do? I've been blind since birth. Well, you go wash in the pool of Siloam. 10 lepers. Jesus says to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Why would we do that? We have leprosy. Well, go show yourselves to the priest. Jesus came to the home of Lazarus. Mary and Martha, his sisters, independently, each of them came to him and they said, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again. In John 11:23, your brother will rise again. Martha replied, I know he will rise again in the resurrection, in the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And then he turns to face that tomb and says, Lazarus! Can he do that? Can he make impossible promises like that? God seems to think that when he calls himself El Shaddai, he can do the impossible. He's the God who can change things. Can he really do that? When God says, I am El Shaddai, I am God Almighty, he says, I can make a new you. I can make a new you. He said that to Abraham. I want to give you a new name. Abram, your name's not Abram any longer. No, no, no. Now your name is Abraham. That exalted father kind of sour joke idea. That's gone. No, now you're the father of a multitude. And you know when God changes your name, he changes your future. You watch that in the Bible as you go through the Bible this year. You watch and see. Every time God changes somebody's name, he changes their future too. Everything is going to be different. Sarai, your name's not Sarai anymore. Your name's now Sarah in verse 15. And interestingly, from this point on, they are never again referred to as Abram and Sarai. It's always Abraham and it's always Sarah. In fact, when God starts talking about her from this point on, he talks about her as Sarah. The change is permanent. God's changed the name. God's changed their future. God's changed their lives. Big changes in store for Abraham and Sarah. How many ladies do you know at the age of 90 would like to start chasing a toddler around? Big changes coming there. You better believe it. And that's not all. Jacob, I'm going to change your name. I mean, this whole name change thing goes on through scriptures. Jacob, you're not Jacob anymore. I'm going to change your name to Israel because you have striven with God and man and have prevailed. You know, Jacob, we like this name. This is a strong biblical name, Jacob. But the thing is, in Hebrew, Jacob means heel grabber. That doesn't really communicate very well to us. What is that about? What does a heel grabber mean? Well, what it really means is rotten, no good, deceiving, trickster, liar, deceitful creep. That's what a heel grabber is. That's the guy who will trip you when you least expect it. And God says, no, you've been called that all your life. You have been called deceiving trickster, heel grabber. No longer, from now on, you are Israel. You have striven with God and man and have prevailed. I'm changing your name, and that's going to change your future too. He's not the only one that had that happen to him. Simon, your name's not Simon. Your name's Peter, because, buddy, you are a rock. God has changed the name of His people, spiritual Zion. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 2, 750 years before the time of Jesus, Isaiah said that God will give His people a new name that the mouth of the Lord will name, a brand new name. And you know what? You go over to Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and you see the passage that says they were called Christians. Christians, first at Antioch. They're given the mouth a name that the mouth of the Lord named. This picture, by the way, is supposed to be a church building, church meeting location in the city of Antioch. And they say this is the oldest continuously used Christian church building in the world. Now, the people at Antioch like to say that's where it happened. That's where they were first called Christians. Now, I don't know about that, but I do know that they were called Christians first at Antioch. I know that because it's in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. When God changes your name, He changes your future. This same promise is given to the churches at Pergamum and Philadelphia in the book of Revelation. Here we are in Genesis. You go all the way to the last book of the Bible in Revelation, and you've got God promising a new name to the Christians at Pergamum and Philadelphia. I'll give you a white stone with a new name written on it. I'll give you my name. I'll inscribe my name on your forehead, and I'm going to inscribe your name in a pillar in the house of my God. How can He change me? Even to my name. How can He do that? How can He make such great changes in my life? Well, He can do that because He's El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. And when He says, I am El Shaddai, when He says, I am God Almighty, He says, I can speak about the future as if it is a settled fact. That's just the way it is. So, Abraham, guess what? Go with me back to verse 17, if you would. Take a look at verse 19, actually. We're going to start in verse 19. I know it says 18 up there. Somebody doesn't know how to run a computer. Then God said, yes, but your wife, Sarah, will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. He laughed. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. I will surely bless him. I'll make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He'll be the father of 12 rulers, and I'll make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. I want to clarify two things here. One thing is, I toss off these comments from time to time, and I don't realize how they sound. I just said, it starts in verse 19, somebody doesn't know how to run the computer. You got to understand, I'm not talking about those guys back there. I did that, okay? It's me, I'm talking about me, but I don't want anybody walking out of here saying, well, he insulted those guys back in the control room. My life is in their hands, all right? I'm not going to insult these guys. They're very, very good at what they do. What God is saying here is, the future is a settled fact. When I say this is how it's going to be, this is how it's going to be. My covenant is with your descendants, Abraham. My covenant is in place. Yes, Ishmael is going to be great. Now, don't worry about that. But my covenant is with Isaac. And you can only imagine Abraham's thought. With Isaac, there's no Isaac. Do you see an Isaac running around here? I don't have an Isaac in the house. That's right, but you will have this time next year because I'm God Almighty and I'm changing things, big changes in your future. God does this throughout the Bible, speaks about the future as if it is a settled fact. Israel, the people of Israel, you're going into the promised land. Now, when you cross the Jordan and you go into the promised land and you decide you want a king, we don't even have a land. We're not even across the Jordan River. Yeah, don't worry about that. But when you decide you want a king, David, your son, Solomon, is going to build my temple. He is? Oh, yeah. Don't you worry about that. He's going to build the temple. Jesus. Jesus talked about his future as if it were a settled fact. In Mark chapter 10, he says, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." Now, we're about a week away from that when Jesus says that, and he talks about it like it's just a settled fact. This is how it's going to work out. This is what's going to happen. Yeah? Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you, and when you turn back, you strengthen your brothers. When I turn back, I haven't turned away yet. Right, yeah, but trust me on this. When you turn back, strengthen your brothers. And one of the best things that he says there in that upper room, that last night of his life, he's there with the disciples around the table, and he says, "If I go away, I will come back and take you to be where I am, so that where I am, you also may be." That's your future. But he talks about it like it's a settled fact. He can do that, see. He's El Shaddai, God Almighty. You know, when God confirmed his covenant with Abraham, he made impossible promises to him. Impossible promises. Gave him a new name and a whole new future. And spoke about that future as if it is a settled fact. That's just, you know, it's just the way it is from now on. This is a settled event. And he fulfilled all of that because he is El Shaddai, God Almighty. When the Lord fulfills his covenant with us, he makes impossible promises to us. Promises like forgiveness of sins. No, you don't have to pay for your sins. I forgive them. He makes impossible promises like redemption, transformation. I'm going to be changed. He makes these impossible promises. He gives us a new name. I'm going to give you a name. I don't put my own name on you. From now on, you're going to be called Christian. That's the name for followers of Jesus Christ. That's the only name that counts. Christian. That's the name you ought to wear. Wear Christ's name. You got a whole new name. Guess what? You got a whole new future too. Now, I'm going to talk about that future as if it is just a settled fact because I want you to be with me where I am in heaven. And he can fulfill it all. One day, the disciples heard Jesus make a really surprising statement, and they said, "Well, who then can be saved?" And his answer is, "With men, this is impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. They're possible because he's El Shaddai. He's God Almighty." Okay, let's tell the truth about this for a minute. We've gone down the hallway a good ways, and we've heard some of those doors click closed behind us, and there's nothing we can do about that. And you know, for some things, it may be too late. I have this crown that has stayed with me for a long time. The tooth is not coming back. Right? There are some things it's just too late. But God seems to think he can change things in me if I will accept his covenant. He seems to think he has power to do that. He seems to think he is El Shaddai. And you know what? I kind of think he's El Shaddai too. I think he can do that too. If you're not a Christian this morning, He can be El Shaddai in your life. And He can make those impossible promises, but guess what? He can fulfill them. He can give you that new name, change your future, and talk about your future as if it is just a settled fact. If you will come to Him and accept His covenant, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, confess His name before men, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, imitate His death, burial, resurrection from the dead. You look at that and you say, Chris, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't get it. What does that have to do with my forgiveness? And my response to you is, don't ask me, ask El Shaddai. He's the one who set it up. That's what you need to do in order to become a Christian and have that new name and that great glorious future. If you're a Christian, though, you've made the covenant with Christ in the past. You've been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and raised to a new life with Him, but you haven't lived with Him, haven't lived for Him, haven't cared very much about fulfilling His will in your life. You need to understand He really is El Shaddai, God Almighty. His will is very important for us to follow. If you need to respond publicly to Jesus' invitation, we urge you to come right now while we stand and sing the song.